Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Yeah, it feels like we haven't been here for a month or something.
Well, you were MIA last week.
Well, yes,
for the listeners.
Yes, I was.
Because your work schedule is just insanity.
It's been very interesting. I've been doing everything from going to Minnesota. I've had to go down to Illinois. I've had lots of things all over the place. And it never fails. It always seems like at the end of the financial quarter, and it doesn't matter what quarter it is, but at the end of the financial quarter, there is some fire inventory that we have to take care of, which is it's at least a two-day job. And this time it was a two-day job with three guys, and it was a house. They're always a challenge. So,
well, we're not here to talk about your work.
I know. But work has been insane gearing up for holidays. Luckily now it's calming down. So,
well, no, it's going to be kind of ironic. With tonight's topic, do you want to do the Amazon promo? And then we'll explain why that's a... I mean, it's not the same thing we're going to be talking about, but a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know, we could be doing the show just naturally and start talking about going to 1201beyond.com, clearing your cookies, clearing your cash, turning off the ad blocker, and using our Amazon links or the links on... I'm going to call
on it... On my website.
I'm going to call it our website just because...
You're a dick.
I'm a co-opting douche. but yeah, if we were just naturally talking along and told people once again, you know, clear your cookies, clear your cash, shut off your ad blocker, use our links on 1201beyond.com and shop like you normally would at Amazon, and we get a little cut. Doesn't give you a discount or anything, but you do get a nice warm feeling about helping us out. Then just by naturally talking about that and fitting it into our conversation would be kind of like
product placement.
What we're talking about tonight.
Got a cat pawing me from behind.
Yes, that would be Dexter.
And Dexter the serial killing cat?
I was going to say, it's always a little unnerving when you have Dexter pawing you from behind.
But tonight's topic is product placement in movies and TV specifically, but there are other ways. I've seen it in magazine articles too, where you'll see an article talking about say a certain filmmaker, you know, like John Carpenter, for example. He has a certain type of lens that he always used in his 80s stuff, and you'll see an article talking about John Carpenter, and then you'll see it go to, and then the Panaflex lens, which can do this and this and this and this, and you can purchase here. Not exactly a natural transition to, I have a feeling that was a paid spot.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it in print. I'll tell you, one of the worst TV shows recently that I've seen it on is the new Hawaii Five-0.
That thing's still around.
And Microsoft. Yeah, and I mean, for instance,
you showed me the Subway one and the Bing one.
Yes, yeah,
Bing it.
I mean, what's Bing? Blah blah blah. Yeah, you know, so it's weird. Okay, so some quick Googling, and here would be the.
Don't tell them we were totally unprepared initially. You ass.
We were completely unprepared initially, but luckily we have YouTube.
$25,000 for this? No way.
This is a Clifton Bowles original. Well, you don't believe me? Bing it.
I will.
Nice big screenshot.
Oh, yeah. Screenshot of the Windows phone.
And then the Bing screen.
Yep.
Who knew you were such an art connoisseur?
Remember, cuz, the best front operation is one that actually does legit.
So yeah. that was pretty blatant, but then there's the Subway one.
Yeah, the Subway one is even
it's
worse.
It's a little, yeah, this is like a paid commercial in the middle of the show.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange. If it loads, here it goes.
Hello, Internet.
Hey, how's it, crime fighters?
Pretty good. You own a shrimp truck, but you're bringing lunch to work.
Trying to eat smarter, brother.
Shrimp, perfectly healthy.
Not the way I make them, but this Subway sandwich, so on them.
Okay, so you're eating these to lose weight. Is that right?
It worked for Jared, and that boy was large. But the best thing about it, they make it any way you want it. Check this one. It's sweet onion chicken teriyaki with jalapenos and banana peppers. Now you put that with this, turkey BLT, bam! It's some serious culinary fusion.
So how many of these did you order?
Five.
5 footlongs.
It was a good deal.
Five.
And I got
$5 footlong.
Okay, now, do you guys see what we're talking about? Just how sickeningly blatant this has become?
Right. I mean, when you talk about movies, you know, Wayne's World made fun of it, and they did
but
a really good
time,
job. But at the same time, there it was.
But, no, listen to the commentary. Those were paid ads.
Oh,
they
yeah.
just figured a way to make it seem like they were making fun of the fact that they had paid ads.
Sure.
That's actually a little more offensive, I think, that
meta?
No, I think it's actually a little more offensive at how you're trying to hide the fact.
Yeah, but at the same, I can't blame them. You know, I mean, who wouldn't enjoy a Pepsi, the choice of a new generation?
Well, let's stick with TV for a second.
Sure,
because it started in TV even before it started in movies, which it's been doing since the 30s and 40s as well. But in TV, do you remember the really old things, like even pre I Love Lucy, where people would be talking, you know, like the mom on Leave It to Beaver would be, you know, making breakfast for them, you know, in the winter. And then all of a sudden she would hold up the can of cocoa and go, you know, it's smooth, rich cocoa, which you can get at all your local stores.
Yeah. And
it was just like, so, you know, just it's so blatant. It's like punching you in the face.
It's very interesting because really product placement like that, when they did the ads live, when they did TV
soap operas
live on the
stage,
and they had to find a way to work the ad in but keep the story going. Product placement really started before commercials became commercials.
Yeah.
And that's just the way you paid for the show.
It used to be part of the title. Okay, you remember that, and so many people call it a ripoff, and it wasn't, because it actually predated Twilight Zone by a year. One Step Beyond, hosted by John Newland, lasted like 5 seasons. It was a very Twilight Zone-ish show.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Not really, but okay.
The actual title of the show is Alcola Presents.
Right.
One Step Beyond.
Well, and, you know, there were game shows and panel shows were famous for it because...
Yeah, Such Product Presents.
What's My Line? Marlboro Presents What's My Line or Lucky Strike What's My Line? And then they would have segments in the show of, you know... Price is Right when they did this.
Oh,
when it
yeah,
first
Price
came out,
right,
the
yeah.
the very very early Price is Rights, when they had the Showcase Showdown, it was the blah 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 product.
Mm-hmm.
Showcase Showdown.
So such and such presents the Dream this, Vacation.
Yeah,
or whatever
yeah, you
it
know,
is.
And yeah, you know, just and Chesterfield Cigarettes is sending you to Foggy London. You know,
but see. Since we're in old TV, something I do want to point out, there was the opposite of that too, where the advertiser was so afraid of the subject of the show that they would start censoring something that might make them look bad. The Rod Serling, this is before he did Twilight Zone, the Rod Serling production of The Trial at Nuremberg, for example, it was a live broadcast put on by GE. It was GE Presents The Trial at Nuremberg. They would not let them use the term gas chambers because they were afraid people might confuse the gas chambers the Jews were killed in to the same kind of gas that they're cooking their turkey with.
Right.
So
right.
GE censored it. So Rod Serling told all the actors, fuck this. Say the lines anyway. And they did. And he was fired that night. But
wow.
He was, no, GE does not tell us how to fucking censor something about the fucking Holocaust.
Yeah, and there's something to that. But even before TV, there was, you know, radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I always loved it. You know, you'd be in the middle of a grand adventure and maybe, you know.
They actually parodied that in Christmas Story. Remember with the little orphan Annie and the Ovaltine?
Oh, yes.
They parodied that.
That wasn't really about, I talked to my, and
Well, okay, they brought it up.
I've talked in the past about how we always watch...
With your dad, yeah.
With my dad and every Christmas. And I actually asked my dad about that once. I said, you know, did you ever have any of those decoder rings or anything? He said, oh, yeah, that was a big deal. We'd gather around the radio and... It really it sounded kind of funny when you watch the movie or when you look back on it with modern eyeballs. But he goes, yeah, that's what the message always was about.
It was a commercial message.
You know, it was a commercial message of drink more Ovaltine and or
eat Cocoa Puffs or something.
Eat Kellogg's cereal or something like that. You know, and he always thought it was funny that one of his favorite panel shows was. I forget what show it was, but it was one of the old radio serials. It wasn't a panel show. I'm sorry. One of the old radio show serials was was sponsored by a cigarette.
Oh, a lot of those were, yeah.
And you know, and
Chesterfield presents.
You know, he always thought it was funny. They always made mention of the main character once the adventure was done, right at the very end.
Jack Fleck smokes Chesterfields.
Now that things have calmed down and we're back on the ship setting sail for the next adventure, I'm going to enjoy a smooth, lucky strike.
Well,
recommended by doctors.
now, I don't know if this is funny or kind of sick, but like even on the DVDs of Tales of Tomorrow, that was one of those live broadcasts from the 40s. The DVDs that they put out, because they're old cinescopes, because obviously they're live and videotape didn't exist, so
right.
They're actually old cinescopes, they still have all the old commercials in them.
See, I would love
on
that.
The DVDs. And it's interesting, but at the same time, almost all the companies don't even exist anymore. You go, wow, a watch band company sponsored this show. Was there really enough business for watch bands in the 30s?
Yeah, and then, you know, there are the classic commercials. Once commercials really started coming out and the products decided we're going to separate ourselves from the show a little bit, you know, you have these great commercials that pop out of nowhere, like, I want my Maypo.
I want my Maypo!
Yeah, you know, and they ended up... You look back at these commercials, and even today, you know, I look back at the G.I. Joe commercials and stuff like that of the 80s, and they really do become part of our little cultural happy nostalgia times.
On a related topic to that, you know what actually offends me about those old commercials?
What's that?
The DVDs. The DVDs of Transformers and G.I. Joe put some of the old toy commercials on there. And they mosaic out the faces of all the kids because they couldn't get the clearances for the actors. That's just offensive. Really? You're mosaicing out the faces in a 30-year-old commercial. This is stupid.
Well, you know, welcome to lawyer speak today.
Because I thought that was funny. I'm like, oh, well, I'll see if I remember that one. Why is everyone a blur blob? What the fuck? But you even had, like, back all the way back into the 1940s, De Beers Jewelers was actually, and this was a scandal at the time, they were paying Hollywood screenwriters to write scenes into romantic movies about jewelry by De Beers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's actually dialogue of like, oh, my God, it's beautiful. Where'd you get it? I got it at De Beers. And that was a scandal because it turned out, hey, that was illegal. I mean, it's one thing to sponsor them. It's another to go in pre-production and go, hey, can you just write this into the script and, you know, I'll pay just you? Because they weren't officially sponsoring the movie or anything.
Ah, so they were just paying the
It was basically like
writers.
Payola. Yeah, it was okay. Basically like payola. Okay. You sneak this past the studio that won't take our advertising and you kind of just work it into the script and make it seem pseudo-natural.
See, that happened in early music radio
payola.
When radio came over. And yeah, payola. So this is, instead of actually sponsoring the show and going through the producers and saying, hey, can we slip this scene in, they just go directly to the screenwriter and slip him a hundy under the table or something. Okay.
And movies actually are less offensive at this nowadays than TV is. Because movies, you've got blatant product placement movies like Mac and Me.
Well, you
remember
McDonald's.
Coca-Cola is what saves the aliens' lives. One I'm thinking of from recent years, if the last 10 years is recent, is you remember Mission to Mars, the Gary Sinise movie, Don Cheadle, Jerry O'Connell?
Barely. But yeah, I do remember it. Because it came out, wasn't there another, like a copycat called Red Planet?
Red Planet came out, I think, like 2 months apart, maybe. Yeah. And they both sucked.
Yes, they did.
But the product placement, and I saw both of them in the theater. So I'm watching Mission to Mars, which came out first. The product placement was so blatant, I'm going, is this like a parody here? Or is this the only way Brian De Palma could pay for the movie? Because, okay, when Dr. Pepper and M&M's are plot points, you know something's wrong. There's a scene where they have a micrometeorite pierces the hull of their ship, and they got to figure out where it is. So he takes a Dr. Pepper, you know, tube, and it clears the Dr. Pepper logo and everything, and squeezes it, and they see where the liquid goes to find where the hole is.
And let's seal it with this M&M.
No. The M&M's come into a different scene. The M&M's are a bag of M&M's spills, and they happen to form on the floor at what almost looks like a double helix, and that's what gives them the idea that that's DNA coding, that's what the aliens are looking for. And there's another scene where they're all standing outside the rover on Mars, and they're all blocked in such a way that a huge giant Pennzoil logo on the Mars rover is between every one of them. Wow. And you're just going, my God, are you blatant?
Now, wait a minute. Now, speaking of, we can't mention M&Ms and talk about blatant product placement in famous movies. No, that was originally offered to M&M's.
Yeah,
they turned it down.
Kind of stupid move in retrospect.
And of course, we get Reese's Pieces. And if you watch E.T., you know, even today, it's parodied on things like Family Guy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. You know, and stuff like that. Is one of the things E.T. loved was Reese's Pieces. And
I love Reese's Pieces.
I can tell you, growing up, there was a time when I preferred Reese's Pieces over M&M's because they had to do with E.T.
Well, but see, that's also indicative of a much different thing. You got people that say, okay, now you can put the product in here. Okay, something like Reese's Pieces or M&M's, or we could have put in a made-up product, but it seems less realistic. And in a way, I agree with that. If you've got a movie where your character goes into a convenience store and it's all brands you've made up of sodas and candies and potato chips,
it really
that
is
actually
shocking,
takes
isn't it?
You out of the movie yeah. more than it does if Lay's potato chips actually paid a little bit to have their not if it's prominently placed or anything, but just being there, it seems more natural and more real.
Yeah.
So in a way, I'm kind of shooting my own argument in the foot. Am I not? That it adds realism, but it shouldn't be the point of the scene, I guess,
right.
is my point.
There's a difference between, you know, I could be, if, here, I've got a soda can in my hand, and for those wondering, it is cold and refreshing Coca-Cola.
Sell out.
But there's a difference. If you were the camera, I could always cover the can, and yeah, you can see that the top is red, but if you're the camera looking, all you see is my hand kind of gripped around a can, and you can shoot it in a way that you hide the brand, but you don't.
Unlike Good Will Hunting, you know, remember every day, every morning, Matt Damon would get Dunkin'
Matt
Donuts.
Damon. Yes,
Ben Affleck would bring Matt Damon Dunkin' Donuts.
Right,
always. It was labeled to camera,
and that's a slight difference. And I don't mind that kind of product placement. I really don't. I expect it. I mean, you talk about this stuff, but at the same time, what really takes me out of it is, again, switching back to TV, the X-Files, of course, the smoking man didn't smoke Marlboros, even though they looked a lot like Marlboros.
Morley's.
And that always killed it for me. I was like, really? Come, I know.
No, that was actually a plot point, because then there was an episode of Millennium where it tied into that. They found Morley cigarettes put out at the bottom of that. Was actually kind of a plot thing
that
he smoked some obscure brand.
Okay,
that was actually worked into the plot that it was Morley's.
But you know, it always kind of struck me as, gosh, they have the same pack design And if I were Marlboro, I'd sue the pants off of Morley for brand infringement.
Well, you've also got ones that are, they're actually a little more subtle. I actually give this movie a little bit of credit for the balls that they had to do what they did back in 82. I can't, the name of the movie is escaping me off the top of my head. It was a movie about, you know, us versus communists. You know, like communist Cuba or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
And now Pepsi paid the movie a lot of money. All the good guys drank Pepsi. They actually went so far as to all the communists drank Coca-Cola. Bad people drink Coke. Good people drink Pepsi.
Okay.
That is ballsy on a whole different level, isn't it?
That really is.
You can't really do that anymore. But back in the 80s, you could do that.
But there's another type of product placement. And I want to get to this real quick. And it's the type of product placement that I call it, I don't know what I call it, but what they'll do is they'll put a blur blob over the brand, even though you can clearly see what the brand is underneath. There's a Subway commercial where they have a New York detective talking about, everybody thinks Subway slices the meat in the back of these stores. Let me show you where the back of the stores is. And he goes to Iowa and he goes, here's the back of the store. And it's this huge meat slicing plant. I don't see what slicing the meat on site makes it taste better, but it's for Arby's. But they put
blur. You just said it was for Subway.
Well, it's for Arby's because they, you know, Arby's fresh slices the meat fresh, and so they're talking about how Subway uses this big industrial plant to slice the meat. And he even mentions Subway, but everywhere that there's a Subway logo, they've got a blur blob over it in the shape of a Subway logo.
That actually probably was just done in post because lawyers went, Subway's going to sue us.
Yeah, you know.
That was probably just a post thing.
But it always catches me. And you'll see that every now and then, especially in modern TV where, again, somebody will have a brand blur blobbed out that they're if they're wearing a T-shirt with that brand on it. I'm wearing my work shirt. And I see,
to me, that draws my eye to it. And I want to know more. I wouldn't even have noticed it probably if you hadn't pointed it out.
Exactly.
But then you've also got the... And they still do this in movies today. Do you remember the movie The Fallen? That Denzel Washington one about the demon that can move through people by touch with...
I don't think I ever saw it, but...
You've seen the trailer or you're aware of it.
The title is in the brain somewhere.
There's a scene in that where they're in a bar and he's like, you know, I just want a beer. He's like, well, what kind of beer do you want a Miller Lite? Do you want a Bud Dry? And he just lists off like five or six different beers, and you go, really, you're telling me that's not product placement? That ridiculous scene was necessary to the plot?
Yeah, as opposed to like Clerks, I'll have a pack of cigarettes. They never spent, and that always drove me nuts because
give me a pack of smokes.
Give me a pack of smokes. Give me a pack of cigarettes. They never specify brand, lights, 100s, any of that.
You may have got to drink this coffee hot. But and that's the thing. Like the movie Project Solitude I worked on, there's a scene that takes place in a garage, like, you know, just, you know, a repair garage.
Sure.
They had people going with little pieces of black tape covering up every oil can logo, every Pennzoil poster, or, you know, because it was shot in a real operating garage.
Sure.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. It just draws your eye to the fact that that's supposed to be a Pennzoil logo that's now blacked out.
Yeah.
It doesn't look realistic anymore. And they're like, well, we don't want Pennzoil to sue us.
And again, this brings up an earlier point you made, but if you had made it Pennzoil,
It still would have been off. And to me, like I said, it throws the realism out the window when you use fake products.
Yeah.
Unless the fake product is supposed to be the joke, like when the Simpsons went to the discount store and were buying Panasonic and Sony TVs.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
Yes.
So, you know, that's the opposite of product placement. The joke is they're buying knockoffs. So that, to me, is funny.
Or the movie with, in fact, they even address it in the movie, but Coming to America with Eddie Murphy.
Ah, yes.
And McDowell's versus McDonald's.
Yes. But then you've also got a new much more insidious method of product placement in TV nowadays.
Okay.
Okay, you still got like the Hawaii Five-0s like you and I played.
We just showed, yes.
But now you've got advertising for new products in old TV shows. They're actually using CGI, mostly stuff owned by Paramount and 20th Century Fox. They're the two biggest culprits in this. But you'll actually be watching like a Law & Order episode that from 1995. And as the guys are walking down the street, they'll have CGI'd in instead of, you know, some real 1995 movie that was there on a billboard when they filmed it for like Sinister or Resident Evil Retribution.
I forget what
So all of a sudden you've just created a massive time warp in TV shows. I mean, there's episodes of How I Met Your Mother from just a couple of years ago that have advertising for modern movies in them.
I forget what I was watching the other day, but they had a scene that took place in Times Square. And, you know, on the building that's pretty famously owned by ABC that has the big news scroll across it. And this was on an NBC show. And for some reason, across that scroll went like Monday nights on NBC, blah, 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 blah.
They've started to do that. They have started to add product placement into older TV shows. And even they've talked about doing this to movies. Like when a 90s movie comes out on DVD, they're going to take some dated reference for, say, a company that doesn't exist anymore, and they'll insert a new company that's paid them a whole bunch of money via CGI. I am personally offended at that kind of stuff.
I wouldn't go as far as to say I'm offended, but I'm against it. And the reason that I'm against it is, number one, I love all those old radio and TV commercials, especially for products that aren't around anymore.
It's kind of a time capsule.
They're a good little time capsule. They're a beautiful reflection of what's going on in society at that time. If they're animated, they're often a good reflection of the art style that's popular at the time.
Agreed.
You know, you can't look at 50s commercial animation and not see the influence of Mary Blair and some of the other people that were up and coming artists at that point. And if we go back and we CGI in new stuff, we lose that. And you lose the context. You lose the time context. For instance, can you imagine if Incredibly Loud
that Tom Hanks movie that should have just been called Oscar bait movie.
Well, let's say that in 2020 we have some new terrorist threat in the U.S. They blow up Lambeau Field.
Okay.
Well, if you can CG enough stuff, why not go back in, ADR a few lines, and boom, instead of being about September 11th, 2001, they're about blah, 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 2020, and they're talking about somebody that lived by Lambeau Field versus...
Okay, you're going to say I'm going too far with this analogy, okay? Remember in the book 1984, what the Ministry of Truth did? They went back,
and
redacted and rewrote all of history, so their version was the only official version. Maybe I'm going too far saying advertising in TV shows is doing this, but is this not what the Ministry of Truth did in 1984?
I think you're going a little bit too far, and you're missing one major point.
But
let's face it, history has always been in the hands of the victors. If for some reason Germany had won World War II, our history in view of Nazi Germany at that time would be extremely different than it is now. I see where you're coming from. I think you're taking that a little bit too far.
But the ideal, I think, is still, it's the same thing the Ministry of Truth did.
The idea is there, and I kind of agree, but...
This isn't even product placement. Remember those old Disney shorts? Remember the one about like the cowboy that was riding the lightning and stuff like that?
Oh, Pecos Bill, yeah.
Okay. Have you seen that on DVD?
I have not.
Well, he no longer smokes a cigarette.
Okay.
They have CGI'd out a cigarette.
Ooh.
And every time, because he smokes like three times in that, they have removed all the cigarettes because they don't want to teach kids that smoking is cool.
See, again, I'm not, I can understand that if it's for a kid's audience.
But on the same token, you've got the Warner Brothers Looney Tunes collections with the introduction by Whoopi Goldberg, which I think Warner Brothers, I give them a whole lot of respect for them having done this. We're gonna keep all those racist Looney Tunes. And Whoopi Goldberg explains these are a product of their time, and it is not right to exclude them, that they need to be seen.
And that I will.
On the other hand, Disney has completely tried to bury the Nazi Donald Duck episode.
The Nazi Donald Duck episode, Song of the South, which is
Song of the South,
not been released in the U.S. and probably never will be.
I don't even know if that ever got a Laserdisc release, because I know that was controversial even up to the 80s when a Laserdisc release would have been.
No, it was never released on Laserdisc. It was never released on DVD. I think there are a few VHS copies there.
I own a VHS copy. I know that.
But and I own a Region 2 DVD.
You can't erase history. And even in something like advertising, for instance, I've told you about that incredibly funny commercial from 1966. I've got an old Star Trek on tape. Somebody cinescoped an actual Star Trek from when it aired in 1966, and I've got a VHS bootleg of that. One of the commercials is one of the most funny and sexist things I've ever seen, but in 1966, this wasn't sexist. It was advertisement for an iron supplement. You wouldn't know that at first, because the very first line is a woman in a kitchen, you know, baking a bunch of stuff, and it says, "Do you feel tired and run down? Perhaps it's because you're a woman." Now the point is perhaps it's because I'm not exaggerating it.
My vagina is just exhausting.
And see, the point of the iron supplement was because the woman's doing so much in the kitchen and all that, you know, the iron supplement helps.
Right,
but
right.
But that is so blatantly sexist. That is a product of its time.
Do you realize that somebody is going to take that vagina statement out of context and shove it back in my face at some point?
Shove the vagina in your face at some point? I can see your face.
Yeah, baby.
But, you know, you lose that. And another thing with advertising, and this is a weirdly positive one, my God, do the Japanese get some awesome commercials. They got commercials with all these huge movie stars, Japanese only commercials.
Oh yeah,
who the fuck does that?
Huge movies. They made McDonald's sexy.
Or Doctor. Do you remember the Dr. Pepper ads? I mean, this is American, but do you remember the Dr. Pepper campaign that they had in 1984 with all the sci-fi stuff?
Oh yeah,
those were great. I mean, and the in a way, this is a bad thing. Those Dr. Pepper commercials were so expensive, they did not just air on television. They aired those before they had a deal with Universal. They aired those before Universal Films in movie theaters.
Yeah, that was
one of the first.
And
so in a way you can blame that, but when you're going to see Dune and you see the 90-second Dr. Pepper commercial that's more or less Dune-ish, in a way it sort of fits.
But at the same time I could also see, you know, Yoda and Qui-Gon Jinn sitting down in the Jedi Council room and enjoying a Doritos and some Pepsi before that movie, which completely ruined, because you're like, we had Doritos and Pepsi in a universe long, long ago, far, far, far away.
Well, you know, you've got other movies like Demolition Man, the Taco Bell.
Sure.
Do you know how many different restaurant chains were vying for that spot?
No.
McDonald's, Pizza Hut.
McDonald's, Burger King, no doubt.
Yeah, everybody. You know, everybody. And Taco Bell paid so much money, they won.
I'd like to know how much that check was, because that had to be big. Three quarters of your movie? There you go.
Well, like, you know, Michael Bay is hardly, you know, a barometer, but Armageddon. There's a whole bunch of product placement in Armageddon. But, and I can't believe I'm about to say this about a Michael Bay movie, he was much more subtle about it, with the exception of the animal crackers scene, which is pretty blatant.
Well, they also made that a plot point, and some products I can forgive it.
But like, did you even know that I think it was BMW that paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to have their car featured in that shot right before the Animal Crackers thing, where you see them laying and there's the sun setting right below the beautiful BMW that Ben Affleck was driving?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even notice it, did you?
No.
So same thing with the countdown clock for how long Earth has. There's a little logo for the company on there. That was $75,000 he got for that.
Wow.
So I can't believe we're saying Michael Bay was subtle, but you didn't even notice the product placement in Armageddon, did you?
No.
That's how you do it, I think, when you don't notice it.
Right. That's how it should be done.
And there are too many that are the Demolition Mans that are, yes, Taco Bell won the franchise wars.
Yes.
Or, and you know, this isn't even just movies and TV. You've heard about the new video game issue, right?
I was going to bring that up. Product placement in video games. I mean, racing video games.
Oh,
what?
The blatant commercials in video games.
Commercials in video games.
Yes. The PS4, Sony has made a deal with a couple of different companies. Now, it'll depend on the game, but it'll either be at predetermined points in the game, like, you know, between levels. Yeah. You'll have to sit through like a 30-second Pizza Hut commercial.
Oh, God.
Or it'll be like every 30 minutes, the game will start to slow down and warn you, advertisement coming up, and you will not be able to continue the game until you sit through an ad. The PS4 will have a lockout on it that will require you to watch commercials to play PS4 games.
Those PS4 games better be like $10 for a AAA title.
So, no, I'm not just talking about product placement in the games. New next-gen titles, you are going to have to sit through ads to play. You know, you'll be in the middle of shooting some motherfucker in the face, and all of a sudden, advertisement coming! Oh, it doesn't pull you out of the story at all, does it?
No, not one bit.
See, especially if the story's like set in Nam, and you know, you've got an iPhone ad coming up.
See, now I can almost understand product placement in games, especially, you know, sports titles, racing titles, where
because
you've got
they do
the
it in
billboards.
Real life.
They've got it in real life, and it somehow fits.
To me, one of the creepiest ones is?
FIFA is really even good. They even have the rolling billboards that they have. Soccer.
Oh, I don't. I'm not a soccer fan.
It's okay. But yeah, they even, surrounding the field in most of Europe and soccer games in the U.S., football, they have, it's just big billboards that just kind of roll ads up, and it sits there for a while, and then another ad rolls up, and those are even in the game. The ones I always love is, do you ever watch rugby or?
Yeah, totally. That's absolutely up my alley. What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay. Orange is really good at doing this, and that's a cell phone provider over in Europe. They'll go out and they will paint the field in perspective so that as the camera shoots down at the ad, it looks completely normal, as if it's almost kind of floating in the middle of the field, because it all of the proportions
I've seen those forced perspective.
But then you look at it from another perspective, and it's all just stretched out across the field.
Yeah,
and
I've seen
it's the coolest thing in the world. I've started to see that in video games, where you'll see the normal floating one, and then they'll switch to another camera, and you'll see the stretched out version. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
But you've also got, for video games, you remember the TMNT arcade game, and when it came to Nintendo, all the Pizza Hut logos that were everywhere? And even when you bought the game, if you bought it for the Nintendo, it came with a coupon for a free personal pizza.
Oh yeah,
from Pizza Hut. It's kind of neat, but it's not intrusive, you know.
And with TMNT, and as much as they adored pizza and pizza with very weird toppings, a pizza company advertising with it fit
right. And then you have ones that were so blatant, and usually the title sucked. But when you had the mascot games, Chester Cheetah game, you had the Kool-Aid
the 7-Up spot.
That I was just going to bring that up. Do you know what the creepiest thing about the 7-Up spot game is?
What's that?
It's one of the best platformers of the 16-bit era. That it, no, I'm not joking. That is a great fucking game.
Yeah, it is.
For a game that's designed all around the 7-Up logo and the 7-Up spots and collecting them and fighting soda creatures and stuff, it is a really, really good game, Scott. Sure.
And, I mean, McDonald's tried. They tried.
McKids?
McKids. And,
or sorry, MC Kids. There was a space there. Right, so MC right. Kids.
MC, which just
sounds it makes like, more sense with McKids.
MC Kids just sounds like, you know, like a 90s pedophile rapper. Yo, yo, I'm MC Kids.
Well, the character you play is black in the game. Oh, God. It is. The character you play is black.
Anyway, so they tried and they made a horrible platformer. Cool Spot made a good one.
The Chester.
Noid. The Noid from...
Oh, that, I hate it. That game was
terrible.
The Chester Cheetah, I know there's two of them. I own one of them. The one I've got is actually not bad. I mean, it's not a great game. It's not like the 7-Up Spot one, but it's not a bad game.
Right.
And I've heard the other one's not nearly as good. But, you know, you've got those ones that the games that are designed specifically around mascots. Or how about, going back to TV, product placement as a sitcom, Cavemen. The Geico Cavemen, remember
that?
I
never saw it.
I saw the original pilot, which they never aired. They made a new pilot after the one that I saw. The original pilot would have made a better drama because it was basically cavemen never died out and they're treated like black people. You know, everyone thinks cavemen are stealing and everything. And, I'm not joking.
They're treated like black people in the 60s or 50s.
Well, no, even in rich, because the whole thing is about one of them dating a rich girl. So, you know, they're, like, they're in okay. rich society and, you know, cavemen, why aren't they carrying trays? And, okay. You know, that kind of thing. And I don't know if the regular series for all five episodes, you know, moved on with that. But the unaired pilot.
It was Geico, cavemen. Racism. Good thing to associate with.
Yeah. Well, that maybe that's why they pulled that pilot that because could it, be. You know, because they had a distinct racial angle to
But you
all
know,
this.
I never saw that. I always heard about it and I had heard that, you know, they're making it.
It lasted nothing, five episodes. Nothing. Well, six if you count the unaired pilot,
which
do you no
have
one
any
saw.
Of the five episodes that aired?
No, because I didn't like the unaired pilot, okay. So why would I watch the...
I'll have to
Why
look
would
it
I
up.
Watch that? I'm sure you can torrent them.
I'm sure I'll find them somewhere, but...
But, you like the thing with video games, though, you also have, again, going back to the whole realism argument, when you're in, like, a post-apocalyptic setting, you know, if they've got knucky-knucky cola machines that you're trying to get soda out of, that takes you out of the game more than it does if it's a Coca-Cola machine, doesn't it?
Well, not really. The one that comes to mind is Fallout.
Which I've never
Fallout,
played, so.
Fallout 3, you have Nuka-Cola. And actually, Fallout 1 and 2, prior to product placement in games being that big, you had Nuka-Cola. And the logo looked a lot like the Coca-Cola logo, but it was Nuka-Cola. And you know, it's a post-nuclear apocalypse deal, so Nuka kind of fits. Also, the cola was radioactive, but...
Well, have you ever seen the movie Enemy Mine? Dennis Quaid, Louis
Gossett
Jr., of
it, parts
Brian
of
James.
It. I've seen parts of it. It's one of those that's always... You
it's actually
always,
quite a good film, actually.
Yeah, but it's one of those that you always find in the used DVD bin.
It's
or
always
the,
in, the,
yeah,
in the $5
it's always
DVDs.
There,
yeah.
Always.
And it was a really expensive movie at the time, too. Directed by Wolfgang Petersen, too, the guy that went on to do, like, The Perfect Storm and that.
Not The Chef?
No.
No,
that's
Wolfgang Puck.
Idiot. But there's a scene in that when, remember, he thinks he's trapped on a planet all by himself. His Louis Gossett Jr. is dead at this point.
Okay.
So he's all by himself. And he keeps hearing these noises. And so he goes and finds a bunch of garbage. And one of the things in the garbage is a Pepsi can, a futuristic Pepsi can.
Okay.
And that's actually kind of a plot point that this is humans that are doing this because, you know, a Pepsi can means these are humans that have been visiting this planet. I'm actually not as offended at that because you needed something like that to trigger that piece of the plot.
Something
he just
familiar.
Found a made up soda, it wouldn't have, you know, who knows if the Drox had Nuki Nuki Cola.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So the fact that it's a Pepsi can helps you solidify these are human beings that have been visiting this planet and that he, you know, he might have a way off the planet.
Okay.
So you've got things like that. Even in books, Stephen King has linked a whole lot of his books with the fake soda brand from the Dark Tower series. Remember? Nuzula Cola? Nuzula has also... am I pronouncing it wrong?
I don't know.
Oh, I think it's Nuzula. Nuzula Cola has popped up in Kingdom Hospital and a whole bunch of his other things. And those are specifically done there to kind of link universes. So he's got a made-up brand of soda that exists in a lot of his work.
There's another author, and I can't think of who it is, but his big thing is knee-high. Namely, it's knee-high, grape knee-high. Okay. It's a soda. It's a grape soda. It's available usually in the South. It's really good. I like it. But yeah, usually one or two of his main characters will enjoy a knee-high soda. And I don't think he gets anything from the people that make knee-high. But
now, would you consider this product placement when, like in comic books, Tim Vigil and Joe Linsner did this all the time in the 80s. They'd have some character like at a rock show, and you'd have a Misfits t-shirt, and it would look just like a real Misfits t-shirt. Or there'd be a Sex Pistols poster on the wall, or something like that. Obviously, they're not getting any kind of kickback. But does that add the realism? Or does that kind of ring of product placement that, you know, that's a Misfits t-shirt, that's a Dead Kennedys t-shirt, that's a Sex Pistols poster, when it could have just been something made up?
Yes, it's product placement, but in comics, just because of what I know about authors and artists and stuff like that, I wouldn't doubt it if the person that put it in there happens to be a Misfits, Dead Kennedys, Sex Pistols fan. And they're going, okay, maybe the kid that picks up this comic book has never heard of these bands. I'm going to put him in there in order to pay tribute.
But then let me ask you this. Say a filmmaker did that and had them wearing a Misfits and a shirt and a Dead Kennedy shirt and a Sex Pistols poster. Is that then product placement, or is that just the director likes these bands and wants to feature them?
Depends. It could be either one. If it is product placement, it's product placement that if they're at a concert of band, you know, whatever band happens to be in this movie, we'll say the Dead Misfit Pistols.
Okay.
So the Dead Misfit Pistols, they happen to play punk. This takes place in the 80s, and these people are at this concert. That's product placement that fits. I don't mind it. You know, it's going to fit better rather than having, you know, a Dead Reagans t-shirt or a perfectly well-fit t-shirt or a Love Making Shotguns poster.
Well, then let me ask you this. Do you remember the 1999 TV series Action, the Jay Moore one?
No.
Okay, it's a brilliant series that I'll have to bootleg you, because don't get the DVDs. They're not...
Not worth it.
Weirdly enough, they're uncensored, and that takes away the jokes.
Oh.
The jokes actually work much better with all the beeps and mosaics.
Okay.
So the fact that the DVDs are uncensored, they're not nearly as funny as the Fox version. Same thing. That's one of the weird ways that one works.
I've seen more than one show that happens with.
But Peter Dragon, the character, is the head of Dragonfire Films, and he's got all these posters for fake Dragonfire movies around his office. And it's actually a little distracting because they're movie posters you don't recognize, you spend more time trying to figure out what is that, or, oh man, that's an awesome poster, than if they had just been posters for, like, you know, The Sixth Sense or something like that. You would have just, oh, Sixth Sense, and move on. It's actually a little more distracting that they aren't real movies.
Okay.
That the fake Peter Dragon character has produced.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's product placement that works, that fits the situation.
And you've also got weird instances of not even product placement, but name dropping of movies that don't exist, but are really close to movies that do. Such as, again, to go to Action, one of Peter Dragon's early screenwriting credits was the gay porn Invasion of the Booty Snatchers.
Okay.
Clearly makes you think of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but then you still start thinking, I want to watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers now, you know?
Or
Invasion of the...
I'm sure that some company somewhere has made Invasion of the Booty Snatchers.
I'm sure they have. But, you know. But I mean, so to me, that there's a fine line. You've got the Mac and Me's, which are just so blatant that Coke paid through the fucking nose for these. And then you've got like the one about, you know, Pepsi is good, Coke is evil.
Well, it's a fine line to me, because it's a very fine line between this is a product that fits the situation versus look at this stuff, you want to buy it.
Well, look at Risky Business. After Risky Business came out, in the scene where Tom Cruise puts on the Ray-Bans.
Yes.
Ray-Ban sales went up over 400% in 1 month.
So did their prices, yes.
And you just kind of, in a case like that, from a marketing perspective, that absolutely works. When you get it in a hit movie like that, you are fucking coasting. Or even, they. I don't know if this was product placement or not. Remember Summer School? The scene where he was writing about his defective sunglasses, and they sent him all these weird sunglasses later on. Or even, again, the movie Summer School, them being obsessed with the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yes, it's a plot point. Do you think whatever company owned, because Texas Chainsaw has gone through so many different hands, whatever company owned Texas Chainsaw's video release at that time might have paid to have Texas Chainsaw name dropped, you know, 100 fucking times in that film?
Sure, why not?
You know, but is that wrong or is that good?
See, again, if it fits the situation, which in that case it did.
You've seen Summer School, right?
It's been a while.
Mark Harmon?
It's been a long while.
I mean, they actually screened the movie at one point in the film for the class. So they show parts of Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Summer School.
But it fits.
So I'm just saying, you've got that, and then you've got the whole, you know, make sure to drink your clean Ovaltine, which you can get at all your, you know, local grocery stores.
And again, it's that fine line. You know, you astute listeners to the show know that you drink a Dr. Pepper every time we record.
Pretty much.
And they know that I enjoy coffee.
Yeah.
Have you ever, you know, so, Josh,
this Dr. Pepper is going down very smooth, Mr. Scott. Is your coffee hitting you the same as my Dr. Pepper is?
My 8 o'clock hazelnut coffee just goes down smooth and wakes me up for the show, just like I like to start my day with it.
My Dr. Pepper makes me need to pee every 20 minutes.
And it does.
wait, that's not an endorsement? Shit.
No, it's not. But if you want good urinary health, Dr. Pepper is recommended by doctors.
Clean your kidneys out, too.
It won't. Soda will give you kidney stones, but nonetheless, yeah, you know, there's a fine line between us every once in a while, you talking about your Dr. Pepper or my coffee,
and we get nothing for it, by the way,
like that, you know, but versus if, let's say, our respective companies did decide to give us some money, it would be a very different thing. Then I would do an ad.
Well, speaking of that, and we've done this in the past. You know, we're hoping to get Adam and Eve back very soon. You and I have been talking about porn every now and then, and as a joke, you've gone, and you can, you know, use the code STATIC at Adam and Eve. And in a way, and I don't know if it came across as a joke, it almost seemed like we were doing the same thing we were complaining about. Even though I know you and you meant it as a joke.
Right.
The but audience might not have.
Oh, I think the audience did. But, you know, the truth is, you know, people know that even when we do get sponsored, which hasn't been very often, we don't make a whole lot here. And so being a little pushy is, I think, for shows like ours, is forgivable.
Yeah.
Because I know other podcasters that are trying to make a living podcasting, and they get a little pushy with their ads, and it's almost forgivable. One has an extra, like a paid membership type thing.
Yeah.
And he gets a little pushy with that every once in a while, and that's okay.
I don't know.
Because that's his living.
Well, Adam and Eve was ours, and hopefully will be again.
Hopefully will be again. So things will be a little bit different, but we'll talk about that when we talk about it.
Once we get the deal. Yeah. So for now, I want to say, go out and buy some clean, crisp Dr. Pepper from your local store.
And if you need to wake up, nothing wakes you up quite like a fresh, hot hazelnut 8 o'clock coffee in the morning. It goes really, really well with your Dunkin' Donuts.
Hey, Scott, after the show, would you like to go get some Papa John's? Some nice, fresh, hot pizza?
Rather than that, I'd prefer some nice, cheesy pasta from Fazoli's. They have fresh breadsticks that they deliver right to your table. Did you know that?
And they give you Fazoli's butt.
That they do. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.